Can everybody hear me then?
Yes, yes.
What, this is the regular address that we're going to use, the Zoom connection? Yeah, so those teething problems were sorted out? Fine, okay, so let's get going straight away. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbonon, this is what we ended with at the end of yesterday's shiur. Tana Rabbonon, Hanichnas lebeis hakisei, somebody who enters the beis hakisei, choleis tefillin, he should remove his tefillin, berichuk dalad amos, at a distance of 4 amos from the beis hakisei, and only then, v'nichnas, then he can enter. Omar Rav, Acha Baravuna Omar Rav Sheshes Loi Shanu, that was only ever taught to us Elo Beis HaKisei Kavua. There exists something called a permanent Beis HaKisei, which obviously we'd have to define, and that is when the above statement was taught to us. Avol, however, Beis HaKisei Arai, but if the Beis HaKisei is Arai of temporary nature, then Choyleitz, then he removes his tefillin v'nifne and he can relieve himself la'alter immediately, as opposed to having to do so 4 amas away. Ukeshuhu yoitse, however, once he then exits that place, marchik dalad amois, he should now distance himself 4 amois, umanichon, and only then replace, put the tefillin back on, lepnesha osoi, because he has now made this place into a beis hakisei kavua. So it sounds like we're being taught the following. There is a difference between a Beis HaKisei Kavua and a Beis HaKisei Arai. What indeed is the difference between the two? So have a look at Rashi. Beis HaKisei Kavua, says Rashi, Sheyesh Boy Tzoya. There is Tzoya there already. As we mentioned yesterday, the hygiene of the Beis HaKisei, the times of the Gemara, was not quite Ramat Bet Shemesh 2021, and Mamela, there might well have been Tzoya lying around. That's called the Beis HaKisei Kavua, meaning it's been used in the past, and any Tzoya which is there has not been cleaned up. The Chol Botei Kisois, all Beis HaKiseis, in plural, Sheba Gemara, which are mentioned in the Gemara, Rashi now introduces us to the concept of the Beis HaKisei at the times of Chazal. Al Pnei Hasodehim, they were literally just at the surface of the field, Beloi Chafira, without any digging, meaning it was not like it was a pit in the ground which was then covered up. If it would be covered up, so then it might well be considered very different because the tzoya is not visible. You can't see it. You can't smell it. Says Rashi, but that's not the state. That's not what we're talking about. The Beis HaKisei in the times of Chazal was basically a pile on a field. There was a corner, which was, that was the field. That was the place where it was miyuchad to be the Beis HaKisei, but there was nothing really Beis HaKisei-like about it. It was just a spot on the field. And that's where they might well be tzoya, and that's called a Beis HaKisei Kavua. As opposed to, says the next Rashi, Arai, what does the Beis HaKisei Arai mean? Sheze maschil achshov. He is now beginning right now, la'asoysoy Beis HaKisei, to make it into a Beis HaKisei. So what does it mean it's Beis HaArai? He is now, as it were, consecrating, for want of a better word, this Beis HaKiseh. He's making it into a Beis HaKiseh, as opposed to a pre-existing Beis HaKiseh where the Tzoya is there. The difference is that every Beis HaKiseh Arai, by the time you leave it, it has now been transformed into a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, because there is now Tzoya. Which means, says Rashi, that there will be a difference now with regard to his tefillin, the way in as opposed to the way out. If you're dealing with the way in, do you have to remove your tefillin 4 amas away from this patch on the field? And the answer is, it depends. If we're dealing with a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, so you are within sight of the Tzoya, you should remove your tefillin well before you get anywhere close. If it's a Beis HaKiseh Arai, meaning it's just a spot in the field which you've decided to make into a Beis HaKiseh, then you don't need to remove your tefillin beforehand, meaning 4 amos away. You just remove your tefillin there and then. You then relieve yourself, but now having left that area, the Beis HaKiseh has now been launched. This area has now been made into a Beis HaKiseh, which means once again, you should not be wearing tefillin within 4 amos of it. So when you want to put your tefillin back on, now you will have to make sure that your tefillin are not on within a distance of 4 amos. So on your way in, you could wear your tefillin till the last moment. On your way back, on your way out, you can only put them back on once you've distanced yourself 4 amos. Why? Because this area has now become a Beis HaKiseh. Says Rashi, Choyleitz v'nifne la'alta. If it is a Beis HaKiseh Arai, then you'll remove his tefillin and then he can be nifne la'alta. La'alta meaning immediately. The yoichaz hatfilin biyodoi. Now this is a chiddush. This is a chiddush. As we mentioned before, we mentioned this, I think, right at the end of yesterday. We have to work out in our sugya, what exactly is the issue that we are dealing with? Are we dealing with the issue of entering a Beis HaKiseh wearing tefillin or holding tefillin? Is that the issue? Meaning that perhaps there is an issue, tefillin should not enter a Beis HaKiseh. Even if you just walk in and walk straight out, you should not bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh. That could be one issue. And then there could be another issue, and maybe both are true, that there is a specific issa in relieving oneself, one shouldn't do so whilst wearing the tefillin. That's a different issue. That itself is not considered kavod for the tefillin. Not because you're entering a Beis HaKiseh, even if you're not, even if it's in the middle of the street in theory, but the very fact that you're involved in an activity like that whilst wearing your tefillin, that itself could be a bezoyin for the tefillin. So we have to work out at each stage what exactly is the issue that we are dealing with, or perhaps both are true. So now, Rashi is commenting on the second case, on the Beis HaKiseh Arai, where we were told you do not need to remove your tefillin 4 amas ahead of the designated spot. Rather, when you get there, you take your tefillin and then the nifne la'alta. Says Rashi, where do you put your tefillin? You've just removed your tefillin, and then it says you could relieve yourself immediately. So in the first case, truth is we weren't told either. It says you remove your tefillin 4 amas away from a Beis HaKiseh Kavua. What does it mean you remove them? It means you have to leave them behind? Or it means remove them, just don't be wearing them, but you can hold them in your hand. So Rashi is at least commenting on the second case. The second case is in the Beis HaKiseh Arai. In the Beis HaKiseh Arai, we said, take the tefillin off, v'nifne la'alta. Zok Rashi. V'yoichaz ha'tefillin b'yodoi. And he is permitted to actually hold the tefillin in his hand. K'da'omrin on the kamon, as we're going to say shortly in the Gemara. Ubekavua. Now Rashi fills us in on the missing detail. Where are your tefillin in the Beis HaKisei Kavua? We were told you've got to remove them 4 amos ahead of getting into the Beis HaKisei, but we weren't told where you put them. All we were told was you should not be wearing them. So does that mean you have to leave them behind at a distance of 4 amos? Or perhaps once again, you're allowed to be holding them in your hand. They just shouldn't be worn, for example, on your head. And why would that make a difference? Says Rashi. Ubekavua nami oichzon biyadoi chidush. A base hakisei kavua is also absolutely no problem to be holding the tefillin in your hand. Elo, however, the chumrah that we attach to a base hakisei kavua is shetzorich lechaltzon. You have to remove them berichuk dalad amos, at a distance of 4 amos. Now press pause for a moment. So what is Rashi teaching us over here? The difference between a Beis HaKisei Kavua and a Beis HaKisei Arai, the only difference is at which point do you have to remove the tefillin? Is it 4 amos away, or is it immediately prior to entering the spot? But where the tefillin are at the time, says Rashi, there's absolutely no difference. In both cases, you can hold them in your hand. With the obvious question being that if indeed there is no issue in holding the tefillin in your hand, so what on earth was the purpose of removing them 4 hours away? It turns out that you're allowed to be holding them in your hand. So let's ask a double question. Number one, why do you have to remove them then 4 amos away? And let's ask a better question. Why do you have to remove them at all? If you were to tell me that you're not allowed to bring the tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, then I would understand. That's what it means. Remove means remove and they should remain behind. Don't bring them into the Beis HaKisei. But Rashi just told us that no, you can bring them into the Beis HaKisei, but they should be in your hand. What on earth is the difference whether they are in your hand or in the normal place on your head? So Rashi continues and answers that question. Says Rashi, Shebezman Sheheim Beroishoi, because at the time that the tefillin are on your head, Heim Begolui. That's the key word. What does Begolui mean? They are open, revealed, they are visible. V'gnai hadavar. And it's considered a disgrace. That's considered a bizoyin. When they're in your hand, apparently, I guess that must mean that your hands are closed, clutching the tefillin, such that the tefillin are not visible. But when you are actually wearing your tefillin, on your head, your tefillin shel roish, they are visible. For the tefillin shel roish to be visible in the Beis HaKisei, that is the issue.
So are we now, saying, sorry, on. Are we saying here then that when he's saying we could take them off, are we referring specifically to shel roish? Are we talking about both?
It's a good point. If Rashi makes a distinction between what's in your hand and what's in your head, then presumably the tefillin shel yad, which is not begolui, for simple reasons because you can wear your beged over it, and Rashi clearly only spelled out the shel roish, then l'choira, I say this hesitantly, we'll have to see whether this is true l'alocha, l'choira, Rabbi Avraham is right. Then when we talk about removing tefillin, l'choira, we're only referring to the tefillin shel roish. Now, one still needs to add the further point. We now understand that, yes, there is a difference between tefillin on your head when they are visible, and that is a gnai for the tefillin, for them to be visible in the Beis HaKisei. But there is another halacha. Yes, there is a difference between whether they are visible or not. But what is this Dalad Amas halacha then? Why must I remove my tefillin, even if it only means a tefillin shel Rosh? Why must I remove it 4 amas away? So clearly it must be because once the tefillin shel Rosh are visible, as we've just explained, then not only is it a degnai for them to be in the Beis HaKisei, but it's also a gnai for them to be within Dalad Amas of the Beis HaKisei as long as they are visible. They should not be seen within the vicinity of the Beis HaKisei, not just in it, but around it as well. What does around it mean? Dalad Amas. Dalad Amas. Dalad Amas. So let's now go back into the Gemara. Go back to the Tana Rabbanan, we'll reread the Gemara, and now it should flow much better, it'll make a lot more sense. Tana Rabbanan, Hanichnas Lebeis HaKisei. If somebody enters a Beis HaKisei, as the Gemara is about to teach us, this is referring to a Beis HaKisei Kavua, Choyleit Tfilov. He should remove his tefillin, which we are suggesting means perhaps only the tefillin shel Rosh, Berichuk Dalad Amos. He's got to do so at a distance of 4 amas, and only then the nichnas, but his tefillin are allowed, says Rashi, to be in his hand. Omer Ravacha Baravun Omer Rav Sheshes, Loishon Walabes HaKisei Kavua. That's when I've got to remove them, albeit they remain in my hands, but I've got to remove them from my head 4 amas away. Abul Beis HaKisei, Arai, Choyleitz V'Niflela Alta. He removes them, and then he can be relieved immediately. You do not have to remove them at a distance of 4 amas. That's when you are going in. Then you would have to distance yourself 4 amas before you put your tefillin back on. Why? What's the difference between going in and going out? Because you have now made it into a Beis HaKisei Kavua. It wasn't a Beis HaKisei 5 minutes ago, but it is now. So once again, the tefillin should not be seen. Again, let's assume we're talking about the tefillin shel Rosh, should not be visible within close proximity of the Beis HaKisei, meaning 4 amas, both on your way in and on your way out. It's just with the Beis HaKisei Arai, on your way in, it wasn't yet a Beis HaKisei. So if there was no need to remove it 4 amas away. So I think so far, everything makes sense. Says the Gemara. Iboy Elohu. We have a Shaila. Mahu, what is the halacha? Sheyikomeis Odom Bitfilin Lebeis HaKisei Kavua. Lahashtin Mayim. Lahashtin Mayim. Now, whenever we talk about going into a Beis HaKisei or relieving oneself, one always has to be mechalek between what the Gemara calls either Mayim versus Tsoyo. Soya is absolute excrement, or sometimes the Gemara calls it, we'll see in Rashi calls it, even more power of Loshen, as we've explained in the past, Gedoilim, as opposed to Ketanim. So Mayim, Mei Raglayim, is sometimes referred to as Ketanim, whereas Soya is referred to as Gedoilim. So what exactly is the Gemara Shaila now? Are you allowed to enter Beis HaKisei, even if it is Kavua, with your tefillin? Lahashdin Maim. He needs to relieve himself, but only for Maim, only for Ketanim. Now this seems a little bit difficult to understand. What exactly is the Shaila? I thought we were just told that you cannot enter a Beis HaKiseh wearing your tefillin, period, irrespective of what you do there. The very fact that tefillin are visible in the Beis HaKiseh, that itself is the issue. So what exactly is the Shaila? So let's see. So this is the Shaila of the Gemara. He wants to walk in to the Beis HaKiseh Kavua wearing his tefillin, but only Lahashtin Mayim. Says the Gemara, Ravina Shari. Ravina actually said it is permitted. Rav Ada Bamasna Osar. So the machloikas, is it muta or is it osa? Lahashtin mayim in a Beis HaKiseh whilst wearing tefillin. Osu, they came, shailua lerova. And they asked this shaila to Rova. So initially it was a discussion between Ravina and Rav Ada, and they came for a final ruling to Rava. And what did Rava say? Omalohu Asur. I agree with Rav Ada Bamasna, but in fact it is forbidden. Why? Chayshinon Shemo Yifne Bohen. We are worried, Shemo Yifne Bohen. What does that mean, Shemo Yifne Bohen? Says Rashi. Mahu sheyikones b'tfilov. Is he allowed to enter wearing his tefillin? And Rashi says quite clearly, Keshehein b'roishoy. Ka'omar, this is what this means. We're not talking about when it's in his hand. We're talking about when it's on his head. When it's on its head. Which would suggest that everything we've been talking about until now is not talking about Mayim. It's not talking about Ketanim. It's talking about Gedolim. And that's why we have a Shaila, what will be the equivalent halacha, not in the case of Gedolim, but in the case of Ketanim, Lahashtin Mayim. So Rashi has to point out that we're talking about the tefillin on his head. Why does Rashi have to say that? Because if the tefillin are not on his head, rather they are in his hand, then the Shaila is a non-starter. Why is it a non-starter? Because we were told before that a person is allowed to relieve himself in the Beis HaKiseh, tefillin in hand. Just the main thing is don't be wearing them, because that's a gnai. But if they're in his hand, then it's no problem. So Rashi therefore has to explain, clearly we are not talking about, in this case, that the tefillin are in his hand, because if they really are in his hand, then there's no discussion at all. We're talking about when the tefillin are on his head. And if they are on his head, it would be a problem to relieve himself for Gedolim. The question now is, what about Ketanim? So we had a Machloikas, and Rava finally paskened that it's also why, says Rashi, Shemo Yifne Bohem, which means Gedolim. Yes, he himself at the moment is only involved in Ketanim. But once he's involved in Ketanim, we are worried that that might lead to Gedolim. Which means that essentially, would you all agree that it says that Ketanim is essentially permitted? The only reason we're outlawing it is because we're worried, where will this take him? he might end up with gedolim, and that would be an issa because he's actually wearing the tefillin, not just holding them. Says the Gemara, that's one explanation, one text, one version of Rava. Look back into the Gemara. Va'omri lo, and some have it differently. But the reason why Rava said it's osa is not because Shema Yifne, but Shemo Yofiach Bohen. We know a very, very important halacha, that one has to be shomer a guf noki whilst wearing tefillin. Which means, not only is there an issa to relieve oneself, but also if one is mefiach, an odor or a gas leaves the guf, that itself is also osa to do whilst wearing tefillin. And that is the concern. According to this alternative version, we're not necessarily concerned at Shemo Yifne, but more Shemo Yofiach. Now you might ask a question. Shemo Yofiach can happen at any given moment. So it clearly seems to be, no, there is more of a chashash that will happen in the Beis HaKisei. So one needs to know this halacha, by the way. This is halacha l'maisa. We will see it in Shulchan Aruch, not today. If somebody feels in the middle of davening, whilst wearing tefillin, a chashash shemo yofiach, he has to try and ensure that it doesn't happen, which is sometimes possible. The Shulchan Aruch does say, and we'll see this inside, sometimes it's impossible, and it will be considered a bigger bizoyin to keep it in than to let it go. But clearly, one does not put oneself in a situation where this is a chashash lechatchila. Which, by the way, is a very, very important halacha. That's the reason why bar mitzvah boys do not put on tefillin at a young age. All other mitzvahs, we train boys and girls to do mitzvahs from a very young age, whether it's brachas or lulav or a shofar, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And when it comes to wearing tefillin, we do not tell a 9-year-old bar mitzvah boy to wear tefillin. Although I must tell you, Chassam Sofer writes that he put on tefillin from the age of 9, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. But either way, that's not the minhag. The general minhag is the bar mitzvah boy starts wearing tefillin when? Maybe a month before. Some have 2 or 3 months, but very, very shortly before the bar mitzvah. And the reason is because of this. Because when it comes to shaking lulav or blowing shofar, fine, let's hope he gets it right. And if not, it's not the end of the world. He's not mechuyev. But a young child who's not necessarily able to be shomer a guf noki, then we don't gain much by educating him to put tefillin on, when to the contrary, he might end up being mevazeh the tefillin because he's yet unable to be shomer a guf noki. Ramesh Azeli, looks like you have your finger on the buzzer.
Yeah, I do. I have a little problem with Rava's explanation when he's saying essentially, according to him, it would be okay for him to go in wearing tefillin for katanim.
Right.
But because of the fact he may
that's the essence, right.
What does he do about the fact that it is a Beis HaKisei kavur? Right. It's already problematic when he walks in.
Yep. So that's why I made this introduction today. We need to work out what exactly is the issue that we are discussing in the Gemara. Is the issue the bringing of the tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, at least when they are golui? Or is the issue being involved in relieving himself whilst wearing the tefillin?
That there's a distinction between the environment and what the action is going to be. It seems to be a conflict at this point. Right.
So this needs explanation. If we were told in the last Gemara that you need to distance yourself 4 amos away from the Beis HaKisei Kavua, then it would seem to be pretty clear that the issue is the actual bringing in of the tefillin. So why are we all of a sudden discussing, is it mutar lahashtin mayim? 1 second, but how did he get there? Why is he allowed to be wearing tefillin? even just to visit, walk in and walk out, l'chayra should be asa. So this needs explanation. Okay, so we'll have to hold it over here. As I mentioned, very important halacha with regard to tefillin. In fact, I once saw, this will finish, a fascinating tshuva in the poskim. As you know, some people are machmeh, it's not the general minig, but some people are machmeh to wear tefillin not only of Rashi, which is what we paskin, but also tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. As we know, there are slight differences between the two. We clearly paskin like Rashi, but there are those who are machmeh Rabbeinu Tam. So the question is, imagine that's your custom. That's what you do, that's what your father does, and now your boy becomes bar mitzvah. Should you encourage him to wear two pairs of tefillin? And I once saw the tshuva, and I think it was the Minchas Yitzchak, he said, no, you should not encourage him to do so. The whole issue of being shomer a guf noki is not a straightforward task. And that's why we do not encourage young boys to wear tefillin. We literally wait almost till the last moment. But even then, we're sort of holding our breath. Will he be able indeed to be shomer a guf noki? So we're not going to start now giving him extra tefillin, which are not really a chiyuv at all, at the possible expense of him not being shomer a guf noki. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Mez Hashem will continue tomorrow. Meanwhile, everyone have a great day.